You bet.
First of all, how big is your market area, and how many salespeople cover that market for you?
Well, the county that we serve has a population of 60,000 people, but geographically it's pretty large. And then, of course, we also serve the contiguous counties, but I would say roughly a 70-mile radius, 80-mile radius. And we have salespeople going from Fargo to Alexandria and Wapping, Breckenridge to Wadena. So we cover a pretty good size area as a sales team.
And how many salespeople currently work at Lakes Radio?
We have 8 local direct salespeople, and I have one individual working exclusively as a telemarketer.
Before we get into telemarketing, there was some discussion recently at Radio Sales Cafe on the number of accounts that a salesperson can successfully serve. How many businesses are on your salespeople's account list on average?
Well, you know, that varies quite a bit depending on the salesperson. I have some salespeople that cover a pretty big territory and have a lot of accounts on their list, in many cases 200, but they might be very seasonal, some of them very seasonal in nature. And then I have other salespeople whose territory is a little more restricted, and they have a pretty limited list of about 50 accounts. You know, certain individuals can simply work at a different pace and are able to handle a bigger load.
You said you have one person who does full-time telemarketing and 8 local direct salespeople. Do your local direct salespeople also handle telemarketing campaigns from time to time?
Yes. We conduct what we affectionately call pit days, wherein we stay in-house, although we've actually moved the function out of house and use a call center to do it. But we do those for special sales packages, special selling events throughout the year.
How important is telemarketing to your overall sales picture? What does it contribute to your annual billing, either percentage-wise or dollar-wise?
Just our telemarketing individual alone, you know, it was going to probably represent maybe, I don't know, 5% or maybe a little less. And then I would say that our pit day efforts can represent another between 5 and 10% of our total gross revenue a year.
So that's significant.
Yes.
You call them pit days. Would you describe what that means a little bit?
Well, it's not my idea. It's one that I picked up in Fargo from Michael Brooks, and I'm sure he probably picked it up somewhere else. But, you know, we add an incentive to the day, and we stay in-house, and, you know, they can wear jeans and T-shirts and be a little more comfortable, and we take a specific campaign item, and we call as many people as we possibly can, and we offer them a little bit of a cash incentive for each sale they make, and that incentive varies depending on the size of the sale. And it's proven to be very, very successful for us.
And you limit this to a 2-day effort?
Most of the time, just a 1-day effort. It depends on the campaign. We have a couple of them, such as our holiday greetings, or Christmas greetings, if you will, senior salutes or graduations, and summer safety. Each of those events are 2-day pit day events.
Your recent effort for summer safety, you used our GBS Summer Safety Tips as your campaign material. How'd that go for you?
It went extremely well. We've always had a lot of luck with it. Salespeople work very hard at it, of course, and we put there's a lot of planning and effort, and we've stubbed our toes enough times to figure out how to do it. But this year, we, you know, our goal is to always exceed what we did last year, and this year we did manage to do that again, and we generated about $56,000 in revenue for summer safety. And, you know, to put that in perspective for a market our size, you know, average order is probably $300 to $400, and the average rate, you know, is probably 10 to 12. So, you know, it's a pretty significant amount of revenue.
$56,000 brought in 2 days would be significant, I think, in anybody's book.
Well, we've set the standard high, and like I said, it's taken a lot of planning, a lot of diligence. It's not easy. You know, we've learned to remove as many distractions as we can, so we go to a separate facility rather than in our sales office, where, you know, production people and traffic and incoming calls can all be interruptions. We've learned the hard way that smartphones and laptops are not a good idea on pit days. You know, it needs to be the old-fashioned way, and pick up the phone and make a phone call.
So describe, if you would, this call center that you use.
Our local telephone company has a room equipped with about a dozen phones. The salespeople spread out amongst three long tables, and they each have a phone and their call lists and a lot of blank sales orders and prospect lists, of course.
Your prospects, are they your regular accounts? Or are you using a phone book? What kind of a database do you use?
Of course, our own account lists are our number one source of prospects. And then we also utilize our chamber lists an awful lot. And then, of course, other publications that may have some advertisers from outside the area. We work hard to scour for as many new prospects to call as possible.
Approximately what percentage of your telemarketing success comes from existing accounts who are spending more money as opposed to new accounts who are spending some money?
I would say it's probably existing 60%, maybe as high as 70%, with 30 to 40% being new business.
So there's the argument for always working at upselling your current accounts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You also incorporate a sales spiff into your sales effort. How does that work?
We break down our sales into three levels, and we'll pay out a percentage of the value of that sale to the salesperson on the spot in cash. And then, of course, we take care of their taxes and whatnot, just in case anybody from the IRS happens to be listening. But we want to give them that money right at the time they make the sale. You know, that is motivation to them, and it's motivation to the other salespeople when they see that happen. And, you know, a lot of the salespeople, not a lot, the salespeople have really learned to look forward to bid days because it's an opportunity for them to make some extra cash. It's an opportunity for them to increase their billing in a pretty short period of time. And it just works out really well all the way around.
I'm sure some people listening are wondering, how much of a spiff do you pay?
We do a 4, 6, and 8% of the face value of the sale. And, you know, it's that with enough money can be a pretty significant incentive.
That's in addition to their standard commission.
That's correct. And, of course, if there's a cancellation or anything like that of that sort of order, we do a charge back. But we learned to stagger that incentive to encourage the salespeople to ask for the biggest for a bigger order, and that's proven effective.
Is there a downside to telemarketing, Doug?
Well, I suppose some people might say that there are. There may be some salespeople that don't care for it that says that there's a downside to it. But I think whenever you can reach out and touch a customer, you know, that's a good thing. You need to make sure that you're making a quality call. You need to make sure that you're client-focused and approaching them with a legitimate benefit tied into that particular campaign and not just asking them to spend more money. But to answer your question directly, if there is, I don't know what it is. If there's a downside, I can't see it.
The question is asked for the benefit of those who don't do telemarketing and might have some fears that for one reason or another, it wouldn't be for them. But here's a case in your market where you do it. You do it regularly. You obviously do it well. And your salespeople embrace it because it's an opportunity for them to make, in some cases, it sounds like significant money over that day or 2 days of focused selling. But I guess the test would be how many people, advertisers, how many prospects that are called on these pit days re-up event after event, year after year?
A very high percentage. Better than 50%, certainly.
So that would suggest then that they're happy as customers responding to these.
Correct, correct. And I think that that's one thing, a misconception that a lot of salespeople have is that clients don't like to be called by telemarketers. And, you know, my answer to that is clients don't like to be called by people that are a nuisance. You know, if we have a relationship and if we're offering something that has a legitimate value, and we are handle the phone call the correct way, in many cases the client likes that because it doesn't take as much time. But it certainly helps to have a pre-established relationship with the people that you're calling, and that's why we're so successful with our existing customer base in this entire process. you know, our closing ratio with existing customers is much, much higher than our closing ratio with cold calls, you know, folks we've never talked to before. But we can cite a lot of examples where those cold calls have turned into regular customers, good customers. And so it's very beneficial. And so I would just encourage everybody to give it a try and not be reticent or go into it with a negative outlook. And I think you can have a lot of success.
Well, Doug, I appreciate your time and your willingness to share your success with other broadcasters. I think we can all learn a great deal from the success of you and your sales team, who are obviously getting the job done.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, and I would be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, Rod, we owe a lot to Grace Broadcast Sales, too, because your level of production has helped us close a lot of deals. You know, we use those audio samples over the phone, and it works. And so hats off to you, too, and we appreciate what you do.
I appreciate that, Doug. Thank you so much.
You bet. You have a great afternoon.
Bye-bye now.
You bet. Bye-bye.